Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We are delighted. Oh no, I mean, am I supposed to...
Oh.
Do we still do this bit where you and I chat for a bit?
Yeah, well, let's do that.
All right, let's try it. What have you got to say? How's life?
It's good. Yeah, good. Very tired. I just feel tired.
You had a week off, right?
I had a week off. I've got two young kids and was fully exposed to that 24/7.
Fully exposed?
As in, you see them, you know, yeah. I go to work 10 yeah. till 6.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I had the full force. But yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard, yeah. Very hard. So hard that we're looking at nurseries.
Really?
So I've been doing that this morning, yeah.
Right. How's that gone?
Not good.
No. It's expensive, isn't it, that show?
It's so expensive.
Yeah.
It's killer.
I know. It's expensive, isn't it? And then you think, oh, but they are looking after our kids, so maybe I should...
Yeah, put a value on it. My reaction is...
Yeah, fucking bargain basement.
I think there's not enough of them, and you could make... I'm thinking of setting one up.
Just right, like, yeah.
You
oh,
can
yeah.
make some good
oh, yeah.
money.
People have definitely sent their kids to fucking be looked after you. By you.
I know, it's not me. I just own it.
You'll have to keep your image well away from that whole establishment, mate.
So there's that.
Okay, good. Well, good luck.
How are you? You good?
I'm good, thanks, man. Yeah. I've just been on tour.
So,
I'm
that's
on a
going
break
well.
Tour. Well, one night break.
One night break.
Yeah, good. All right.
Worst one?
Worst one, that's a good question.
You've got quite a few to choose from by the sounds of things.
Well, it was one of the Reading ones. One of the Reading ones. So, by the way, I'm just going to bring you in now. We've got Murkish David.
Who's been on tour recently?
He's been on tour as well.
So you can.
Basically, I do a bit where I talk about
Reading.
No, I talk about the environment in the tour show, right? And I talked about I mentioned about the fact that people are saying you shouldn't use planes anymore because of the environment, right? So I just went, you know, I just sort of said, I imagine none of you using planes now because of the environment. Like, just joking around. And then this bloke in the front row goes, well, how the fuck did you get here then? I said, I'm from Crawley. Right?
Private jet.
And then, in my head, I was like, oh, this guy sounds like I'm fucking off the boat or some
shit,
right? So then, like, I started getting so fucking aggressive with him. And then he looked totally shocked. And then my tour manager goes, I think he might have just meant that you take a private jet. And then I was like, oh, shit. I just fucking absolutely rinsed the geezer for being a racist. And not injected a level of tension into the room that's probably unnecessary.
I had an old friend who I hadn't heard from for about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know where, I think maybe Swindon or Wiltshire, somewhere that way.
Yeah.
Who said that he was sat in the front row and went for a piss in one of your shows and you absolutely annihilated him.
Yeah, sounds right. Don't for being, get the toilet during my show, mate.
Jesus.
I mean?
He was devastated.
Was he?
Yeah.
Good.
Because he had like saying he was like really bald and horrible and fat.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say he was bald and fat. He was
maybe
bald.
That was me.
But
it's
like, I wasn't saying it was an insult.
I added that in. I think you said he looked like the Marlon Brando or something.
I said Telly Savalas.
Oh, Telly Savalas.
That guy was your mate.
Yeah. And not through an ex-girlfriend.
Fucking fat bald cunt. Tell it to fuck off.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
So,
good to catch up.
Well,
good to catch up.
How are you, bro?
I don't even have to speak, man. I'm happy to just sit here for an hour. Like, this is incredible, bro. Like, I just got back off tour myself, and this is a nice way to decompress.
Yeah, yeah. How's the tour gone?
Great, man. It's wow. Like, I've learnt a lot. I think it's the first time I've gone out as a solo artist and really gone to some of these cities and sung my songs, and I met everybody after the gigs apart from London because that was a bit too mad. But the other
one. So hold on. So do you have a meet and greet after every gig?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not It's not paid for, unfortunately.
Right.
But yeah, I was.
But you're doing it as part of the thing of them.
Well, yeah, I want to talk to the people that are into my music and find out what they've got to say.
Yeah.
And it's been like super interesting. I've learned so much, and I feel like, I don't know, man. Like next year, I want to go back out there and do the same thing. And yeah, I feel like there's been like a, as it sounds cheesy, it's like a family, like it's like a kind of foundation that's been built across the country. So I'm looking to go back out there next year.
And what have they said about, because like I was just saying to you before we started recording that my agent and her brother in particular,
yeah,
is obsessed with you, like is absolutely obsessed with you. Wow. And but you seem to have like come, it's not like, it doesn't feel like you've had like a big PR push, it doesn't feel like you've had this, like you've chucked a load of money at like getting yourself out there, but yeah, it's it feels like a really organic way that you've come into everybody's like conscience.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I've got no money, bruv. Like. Like, yeah, there's no peas getting spent. But I don't know, man. I feel like I feel like I got a bit lucky in a way where I made one song where I was like really honest about my life.
Right.
And people liked it.
Yeah.
So I just kept doing it.
Yeah.
And then I made an album about that as well. And now I'm kind of shitting myself about the next one.
Right. Yeah. So, but you took a while to come out with this album, yes. Mercury's Dave Saved My Life.
It's changed.
Title.
Right. Well, your podcast is saved.
Right.
But I don't want to put that on myself, you know.
Right.
To save. I just want to change.
Right. Sorry, Mercury's Dave Saved My Life.
Now, but for me, saved my life.
Yeah. Thank you, because I've got to be honest with you, we do have legal representatives next door. Because we fucking ripped it off Lupe Fiasco anyway, didn't we? But sorry, so Mercury's Tape changed my life. Mm. What made you come out with the album when you did then?
I was just getting cussed by certain people. Certain people were just like, bruv, like, you need to put an album out. Because I was always, do you know what it is? I think, and I'm sure you guys could probably identify with this as well, it's like, being creative, you always just want to do so many different things.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's actually like, that's the curse, isn't it? Because then you just don't get anything
done.
So I was just doing so much stuff. And my friend Chaos from Young Fathers, and also my friend Louis Dondada, who designed this hoodie. He's from Paris, and obviously Chaos is from Edinburgh, but they both at around the same time were just like, bruv, just because I put a couple of songs out.
Yeah.
And I was still just running around and doing... I mean, some of it I needed to do to make money, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was running around doing madness, and they were like, bruv, just put an album together. And I listened and I focused, and, you know, here we are. So.
And how have you felt about the response to the album? Because everybody I've spoken to seems to think it's amazing. Like, I mean, it's a great album, but like seems to have... Like, the response has been amazing, right?
Who would have thought it, man? I don't know. It's a hard thing to say. Anything you say sounds cheesy, but
yeah.
I'm just really thankful. I feel lucky, and I don't know really what to say.
What when the album came out, did you have an aspiration for? Like, did you know in your mind what success? Not, I don't mean success. Like, I mean like your idea of that album success. Did you have an idea of what that would look like and you know, how you would know if it's done what you wanted it to do?
I mean, I set quite a low bar. I was just like, I'm going to put it out. That was the first thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, I'm going to do a show, like a 100-150 capacity show at Seabright Arms. I really wanted to play there because my friend Oscar World Peace had done a show there and I'd been the DJ.
Right.
And I was just watching the show, like, be sick to be doing my stuff.
Yeah.
So I was always wanting to do that. And I did that as soon as because the album's been out like a year. It came out like last October. Yeah, so that was my initial thing. But then that sold out before the album came out. So I was like, okay, like maybe onto a bit more than I thought. And then so we went from there and did a little mini self-promoted tour, and then we've just come off the bigger tour, like a bigger one that we've just done.
Yeah. And you've enjoyed the tour, have you?
Mate, it's been great, man. A lot of banter. Got our laptops nicked in Birmingham.
What?
Just, you know, normal stuff.
Are you serious?
Get it back, no?
During the meet and greet as well, bro.
Fuck off. So what happened?
I mean, the meet and greet took longer than the gig in Birmingham. Because it was just like...
So how does it work? They come and see you, and then what do? You go off and then come out and mix with them?
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I just go have a brandy,
right?
Then come back and then just come by the merch stand, like, right. You want to buy a T-shirt? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. But also, like, chatting. And
I get it. You're pretending you want to be with the people, but you want to sell a ticket.
Yeah,
I,
yeah.
I understand.
Just slipping out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool, cool. I get that.
No, but yeah, in Birmingham, someone was watching us. And then went and
Jesus Christ
did a move.
Man.
What, from backstage?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
So out off key.
Did a move. So
and then did you put like a
big Twitter campaign to get it back?
I didn't. Do you know what? I didn't want to. I'll tell you why, yeah. Cause he was black. So at first I was like, nah, man. Like, I was like, why did this guy have to be black, man? Like, I was like, oh, bro, like, why are you doing this to me? Like, you're putting me in a tough position because you're my brother.
Right.
But I need the laptop back.
Yeah.
And we did, after a while, because I put out, I know a few people in Birmingham and stuff, so I put the word out.
So you got the laptop back?
No. Well, I didn't. I didn't.
Yeah.
But so, that's a horrible experience.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great, man. Luckily, I'd backed up maybe a month before, so I lost a bit of stuff. But most of my, because I'm working on another album now, so I lost a few things, but I'm sure I can think of something better.
So your music, for people that haven't heard it, it's difficult to classify, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually think... I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, people ask me this a lot, especially when I'm like, say if I'm somewhere and I'm at like a family function and they're like, oh, so what's your music like?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, it's kind of like a bit like the beats are a bit, you know, from the club scene, but I'm like, it's a bit like Morrissey, but then it's a bit like, you know, Frank Ocean. And then I'm just like, it just sounds ridiculous. It doesn't sound like what it actually sounds like.
Yeah.
But I actually realised recently... No, I just make pop music, but I'm just not 19 and white. So that's it. Like, I make pop music, but it just doesn't sound like... I guess the people that listen to my music would probably not want to admit that they listen to pop music.
Yeah,
but it is actually the way... That's the easiest way to actually...
How did you arrive at that sound? Because your background is garage, isn't it? And like club scene and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you were you're a promoter, right?
Yeah, I was a promoter, mainly in Manchester. Right. I lived in Manchester for about 10 years. And I was running raves up there. But yeah, like, I grew up, pirate radio was like my earliest way of kind of finding music that wasn't on like, I mean, I was listening to like Kiss.
Yeah.
Because Kiss was kind of cool back then. And like Capital had some stuff, like Craig David used to do a late night show. And then, but pirate radio was how I kind of got into, because I listened to a lot of R&B and stuff. And that kind of got me into electronic music really. And then I was running raves when I went up to Manchester. I was running R&B raves at first for some other people, and then I broke out, started my own thing, which was called, at first it was called Monday Murkage,
because
I just thought that was like a funny name for a night. And then we moved to a Thursday, so I just called it the Murkage Club.
Yeah, because Thursday Murkage doesn't work.
Nah, no. It wasn't really ringing off.
No.
Yeah. And that's how I got my name. And to be fair, I know it's a bit of a ridiculous... Murkage Dave is a bit of a ridiculous name.
You think so? It's unique, isn't it?
As a singer, I feel like it's a bit... But then it's fine. It's fine, isn't it? Because it's just like there's a story behind
it.
So it's fine. But it's kind of good because people go, oh, I thought I was going to hate you. and then actually... It's fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I actually really like the songs and stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess your music doesn't sound like it'd be made by a guy called Murkage Dave, I guess. Is that right? Am I right in that? I don't know.
Just gassed you know my music, to be honest, bro.
No, mate.
Like, like, I'm just gassed at that.
Well, the truth is, though, it's like, there's stuff that you say that, like, I just think it just fucking connects. Like, there's a bit where you talk about, I won't get the words exactly right, but it's like, there's a bit where you talk about worrying about if other people rate you, but you don't even know if you rate yourself. And,
I want people to rate me.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I don't rate myself.
Yeah. And then at the end, you talk about being called Calamity Dave because everything fucks up for you.
Yeah.
It's so relatable, man. That kind of, I don't know, to me, it was fucking really, you know, that sort of, that fearless internal monologue is great. Just had a DJ but can get cancelled. And now 5 bills down for the month.
understand. Man, I got debts, old friends, all the council. Still I'm sitting here trying to pay the bill for every man's lunch. And I want people to rate me, maybe I don't rate myself. And I got strangers around me, only I can blame myself. It's got me sitting on a carbon sofa, listening to Stevie Wonder. And I wonder, where will they go and I go?
Is that just you channeling what you think and putting it out there or what?
Yeah, I feel like that it's the only way I know how to write songs, really.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of lucky because I don't really have. It's not like I could just pull up and just start trying to make an Afrobeats tune or something like that. It would be inorganic. So it's kind of just lucky that the thing that I'm able to do, it just it kind of resonates because it could not. So,
but it's like because the combination of the production with what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone else that's doing that.
Okay.
Right? So, when you're making that, are you thinking, I don't give a shit? I'm doing this because this is my background. It's led me to like this kind of production and this is what I want to talk about and whatever happens, happens. Is that literally how it came about? And then suddenly, because of that, that's actually what's made it connect with people because people go, I've not heard anything like this before.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there's a song called Car Bomb, which is a bonus track on the album. I feel like that song came out a bit before the album.
And went like massive, right?
Well, it was a slow burner, but I feel like that song has put me in front of even some stuff that I've done that I can't actually talk about yet that isn't. But that song, it's not my biggest song, but it's the song that other musicians go, do you know what I mean? And then it opens the door, and then that musician will play it to another musician, and so that song's done the most for me in my career, I think.
I feel like I'm cracking up. I'm all rapping like I'm black enough. You ain't even call me on my birthday. I couldn't even know that was the worst day.
I remember shooting the video for that song, and I had these three guys that were supposed to look a bit like me, and I'm on this sofa, and they're like doing backing vocals. And I remember shooting the video, and all I was thinking was, these men probably hate this tune. But I was like, they probably hate it, but they're getting paid like £50 each for the thing, so they're probably going to say they like it, but they definitely hate it.
Yeah.
That's what was going through my head.
Oh, that's horrible.
And then when we put it out, it got received in a way where people were like, oh, like, I feel like this as well, and telling me their stories and stuff. It made me realise all I had to do the whole time was just be myself.
Yeah.
And then so that bled into everything. I was like, well, I feel like a lot of the time before, because I've done music for a while and I've been in different group situations with people, but I sometimes leave the creative decisions to other people because I didn't really have a lot of confidence in my creative decisions. Whereas now I'm just like, no, man used to listen to this and I'm from here and my parents are from here. So let me just, but I'm not like that. And I'm not like that version.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna put me in a record, and if people like it, they like it. If they don't, at least I can stand by it. Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And what can we expect from your new album? Are you following that same direction? Have you had a change, or like what's kind of the deal with that?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've been back in London for like 5-6 years now. It's very different from when I left, and I want to talk a bit about that as well, because I feel like when I'm in something, I can't really speak about it as much. I don't know about yourself with the comedy.
Yeah.
If you need some time to like think about it, and then it makes more sense, and then you can talk about it. So I feel like now is probably the time for me to talk about the city a bit as well. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the marked differences then in that over that 6 year period?
With London?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was more that I left London for 10 years.
Right.
And then when I came back,
it's all gentrified.
Yeah.
It was like you could get sourdough in Brixton.
Yeah, I mean indie girls had big bums. And I was just like, what's happening? Like, what's going on? Like,
it's all this, about sourdough.
Yeah. So I never remember this. So it was just kind of like,
what a fucking observation that is, by the way.
What's that tune called?
I actually have that. It's a lyric where I say something similar, but it's like a freestyle.
That's great.
But it's quite cruddy. It's called East London Freestyle. And it's quite cruddy. It's quite kind of early. I'm experimenting with the style that I've got now. It's quite cruddy. Like, stuff I'm saying is quite greasy. But then, like, the time before, actually, I've had a few horrific experiences in Birmingham, actually. But the last time I was in Birmingham before, these quite young girls came up to me and just rapped the whole thing in my face, like, that close.
Really?
And I was like, I'm never writing anything like that again. And they... Because it was...
These indie chicks have got ass now. Living in late and no pasta. We did the ting in our past now. She want a TMZ and man's business. MCs living in countryside. Grime karaoke superstars. Nobody but shots on them sides. Everybody eat vegan, teetotal and celibate.
I don't know, it was just a lesson. It's like God came and said, alright, you think you're rough, yeah? Alright, cool. I'm gonna send these and you're gonna feel very weird. And I was looking around and looking at my manager. My missus was there as well.
Was this uninvited? They started rapping this.
Yeah, they were just like, we love East London Freestyle. And then they just start doing the bars. If you listen to it, you know what I'm saying? But there's certain bars and they kept repeating certain bars. And it was just weird.
Was your missus just looking?
She was just laughing at me. She was laughing.
Not
she was
helping
like,
you out.
Yeah, she's like, for your business, you wanted to spit that crud. Now you got to take it. And my manager was the same. They were just letting me like take it. So that was a lesson learned.
So basically, those girls came and told you they loved East London Freestyle, and they essentially guaranteed you'd never write anything like that again.
If you look at rappers in general, I think it's easier to kind of like show off a bit or just talk about some grease or because it's just like, it's very easy to be creative when you're in that subject matter, because it's like you're just finding clever ways to say the same
and you've
thing
got a bit of distance from it, haven't you? You're just sort of playing around, aren't you?
Yeah, and then I had to kind of, once I found my feet, then I could start being talk about more, you know, really what I wanted to talk about, like the kind of conversations I'm going to have with my friends.
Yeah,
I feel that happens. I feel like that happens a lot. With like just from DJing in London and stuff, and just seeing what the scene is like, I feel like there's a lot of like super creative young kids in the inner city. But because street music kind of translates better for a lot of different reasons, and I love street music, but I feel like what happens is you get quite nice kids, but they talk like violent stuff or greasy stuff because it's easier for it to kind of cut over.
Right.
And I feel like part of my thing is what I want to show is like, in the same way, like say like Giggs cut a lane for street music in this country. He was the first person. I loved Giggs, but I never thought that Giggs would get, he's like would playing Wembley. Mm.
Yeah, he's playing Wembley. Yeah, yeah, it's mad,
like,
isn't it?
And then so he carved a path for all these guys. Like, okay, it's not just about having views on YouTube and still, you're just trapping in real life. Actually, you can do this as a career, and you can see that everyone following him. And I feel like I want to, whether it's just me, I'm not saying it's just going to be me, but just be part of that movement that kind of encourages the youths to just talk about what's going on in their head, not just, if you're good at that and that's your reality, then do talk the party stuff or the street stuff. But I feel like there's a lot of kids that are just doing that because that's the lens that it's getting seen through, and that's where they just want to bust, if you see what I'm saying.
So what's your problem? But what's the issue with that? Is the issue with that that it's you're spreading negativity? Are the issues not being authentic? I mean, what's your main beef of it?
I just think that, especially when it comes to black music, I feel like it's being seen through like there's a lens that it gets seen through where it's like, we want violence, or they want extremities.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine, but like let's put the other pieces to the palette there as well, because we need to be expressing ourselves to the fullest, I think.
Yeah, and that's why doing something like what you do is slightly riskier, because I don't know, I think it's a brave thing to do, But obviously it's worked, so well done.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, I've still got a lot of work to do, but yeah. that's you're gassing me up, bro. Thank you, man. I'm gonna leave this place pumped up, man.
Good. Yeah. That's what I do to Rupert every day.
Like, yeah, I need
fucking
it.
Walking out, actually, yeah. Buzzing your tits off, mate.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, listen, what's your deal? What's your issue with Jurassic 5 fans?
Wow.
Straight in.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'll tell you what I'm asking.
I forgot we sent
out questions to our guests. And one of the things was, what was it? What, anything you don't like about hip hop? And you said Jurassic 5 fans.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was a callback to him later. Yeah. As well. And then...
Mate, I think I was just having a laugh with my manager when we were filling it out, and we just thought it'd be funny to say it. Do you know what it is? Yeah, I like Jurassic 5. That tape, I can't remember what album it was, but I had it on tape.
Yeah,
I love that album. I can't remember
Concrete School. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I love that. And I met Charlie Tuna like last year.
Yeah,
lovely guy.
Yeah, like, we've had him on there.
Yeah, like yeah, I've got yeah. no problem so with Jurassic 5.
Why you got beef with him?
No, it's, but I said the fans. I never said. Do you know what it is? Yeah. I feel like I lived through a particular period, especially when I lived in Manchester, because I went to uni there, I got kicked out.
Right.
And, like, I had to deal with a lot of Trustafarians. And I guess, like, I don't know, and from DJing as well, you get this, there's this type of person who's like, just like, I don't know, let's say... The Game was playing or something. Yeah. They'd be like, that's not real rap. Stick some Jurassic 5 on.
Well, they thought they were like proper hip hop.
Yeah, and it's just like, come on, bro. Like, that's not even like Jurassic 5 is like fun music, but you're trying to tell me that's the truth.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but for me, like, I've never heard Jurassic 5 in the hood.
Yeah.
Like, never ever in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In my life. I like that music, but I've never heard it in the hood. So it's like, how can you tell me that that is the truth?
Yeah.
And I can't. And do you know the funny thing? So I got a brother. He's 18.
Yeah.
He's just gone to uni now. And all his friends that are like super muso.
Yeah.
And they're like hating on Drake and Future.
Yeah.
They like Drake. They like The Game and 50 Cent. So it's a joke to me, bro. Yeah. I can't take it. And I know you might have some listeners here, and
this is good.
Maybe might be triggered by that, but that's just the way that I feel. Yeah. Like, you know, I love music, regardless. You know, so I don't want to hate. I don't hate Jurassic 5 at all, man. But it was just a funny thing.
I remember when I was at uni, Black Eyed Peas had just come out.
Mm.
And they had a competition. Like, if you could name their album, you get tickets to their gig, right? So I phoned in, won the tickets, went to the gig, took my girlfriend at the time. And I was in the front row of this gig. And this is what they'd just come out with, Behind the Front, their first record, right? So, like, it was a good album.
Yeah.
I remember I was there at the gig, just like, and it's just about to start. And some guy, like, we just got chatting. And I said, oh, yeah, are you a big fan of the Black Eyed Peas? He goes, yeah, because it's just this real stuff, isn't it? And then he goes, not like, you know, this manufactured stuff like Wu-Tang. And like, I promise you, he goes, I just like, you know, that sort of stereotype.
Like a super group that's
and honestly, mate, I just turned around and I said, I know you didn't fucking say that about Wu-Tang Clan. I'm like, are you fucking... But that is that kind of like, that kind of weird revert. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's just like, this is like... this is like proper head nod stuff, whereas that's just like, I was like, I can't. It made me, it's the first time it made me sort of like reflect on like, what the fuck, man, that sort of weird snobbery. That, and I'll be honest with you, I had that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, if somebody wasn't like doing like multisyllabic, like mad shit over some like computer game beat, I'd be like, oh, this ain't, what the fuck is this, man? Do you know what I mean? But it, like, then you sort of grow out of that phase, do you know what I mean? But I totally get what you're saying.
Technically, Wu-Tang were manufactured though, were they not?
There is that is true. Listen, were you at that fucking gig?
It was you.
Was it you? Yeah, but they were. But their music wasn't, like, you know, they weren't going for a commercial sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
I actually supported Wu-Tang once. I was in a
rap. Yeah, did you say this manufactured shit there when you?
I told them. Yeah, they're all massive, bro. They are all massive.
Really?
You don't want no problems, man.
Really?
Like, you know, certain rappers, you see them in real life, you're like, oh, well, they're all huge. No
problems.
Were they
all there?
Most of them were there.
Right.
Yeah, because I was in a group. The group was called Merkage. That was a terrible idea. We had a club night called Merkage. I was called Merkage Dave, and we tried to start a rap group called Merkage.
Was everyone else called Merkage like Rob and Merkage Andy?
It could have been like ASAP Rob. Yeah.
No. That's where you went wrong.
Yeah, no. I mean, we did a rap for a bit, but it wasn't really the one. But we did support Wu-Tang.
Right, what was that like?
The crowd were looking at us like we were aliens. But Method Man is an amazing frontman, but also my brother, actually I didn't see this, I always tell people I've seen it, but I think my brother's told the story so many times that I believe you've seen it. My brother was the DJ in the group, and Method Man he'd lost his wedding ring in the crowd, but I think his wife might have been ill or something, I can't remember, it was something quite deep.
So what, had he staged up and got taken off?
Yeah, because he does that thing where he steps on people's heads.
Yeah.
And he'd lost his wedding ring, and he was vexed backstage. I mean, I heard him like making noise and stuff, but my brother said he literally seen him walking. It's my other brother, not my 18-year-old brother, obviously. And he just tore the shirt off his back, like tore a shirt.
Hulk star.
Yeah, like. I was like, yeah. We asked him for pictures and stuff, but yeah,
they don't have that.
Did they find the ring? They've just sort of. Wait for everyone.
I don't know what happened. I hope so, man, because he seemed quite upset. We did a couple of those. We did one as well where it was Black Star and Rakim was playing as well. I just remember Rakim coming in our dressing room
with Method Man's winning ring.
That fucked me up, bro.
Oh, boy.
The timing. Jeez. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Rakim came in.
Yeah. And he said, he asked for, I can't do an American accent, but he said, y'all got a cardboard box? He asked for a cardboard box. We were like, what? And we didn't even have a dressing room. We were in the kitchen. It was at the we were in the kitchen, bro. Of like the academy, Manchester Academy. We were in the kitchen. That was our dressing room. There's a photo of it. But like, literally, he was like, you got a cardboard box. So I'm like rushing, taking the beers out of the crate to give it to him. And then he was boxing up his rider.
Oh,
and I was like,
my God. Get someone else to do it.
Yeah, like, I was like, wow. Like it really flicked my brain, and I was like, raw, like this is an entertainment industry. It's like it's a different thing. It's not.
I mean, that's like
how long ago was that?
Oh, bruv, this must have been like 2012, maybe 2013, something like that.
Yeah, and that's the geezer that was like
paid him
possibly the greatest of all time.
Bruv. I mean, maybe he's just like
thirsty.
no. He was boxing up food, bro.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But I feel like maybe he's just a pragmatic, you know, like a sensible person.
Maybe he's always been like that. Maybe he'd done that at the peak of his power.
But it definitely.
Listen, I mean, we may be absolutely smashing this, but we don't waste a sandwich. So, what hip hop are you into then?
At the moment, I reckon I probably listen to more rap music now than I did when I was younger, because I'm a soul boy really. My parents were into soul and stuff, and I was into like rap but it was more like just the jiggy stuff, like Mace and stuff like that. And then obviously I was into garage, because you know what it was? I remember at school in our common room, we had like two sets of speakers. We had two corners with two sets of speakers, and there was a garage corner and a hip hop corner.
Right.
And the hip hop corner had no girls in it. They all listen to DMX and Jay-Z and stuff. I was like, nah, fuck you guys. Like, I'm over here, bro. Like, I'm going to be over this side.
Yeah.
So I was in the garage corner. And so that was kind of the flex. But then I was always into garage MCs. And then even like certain things, like obviously Fallacy, who's a good friend of mine now. And then I guess like, yeah, like Dizzy coming out. And obviously So Solid, Dizzy, all that stuff, Kano. But then I feel like there was a period where I just kind of like, I did this with guitar music as well. I just went back and just flooded my brain with everything.
Right.
Like listened to like everything. I was just like, why haven't I heard Illmatic or whatever? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, so I just went back and just.
How do those things hold up to going back and listening to them now? Because does it sound dated, or were you still able to appreciate it?
I feel like, yeah, with Illmatic, you can just hear where it's influenced. It's quite interesting. Or even going back further, you know, listen to someone like Slick Rick, and it's like, they bit so much from
them,
do you know what I mean?
And
then even like a group like the Far Side, and then you can hear like, oh, like Kendrick took this from them, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, I kind of went back, and it is, but then certain records still really hold up. Like Reasonable Doubt, I still feel it is like he sounds incredible now, you know. But it depends. It depends what kind of phase I'm in that week or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just such a, there's just such a range.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite type of stuff?
The typical stuff that, you know, Drake, Kendrick, stuff like that. I love the new Kano record. I think that's amazing.
Yeah,
my pre-meek, I can see angles. Get money, get snakes by your ankles. Any cobras can get handled. Got enough for soldiers like dangles. Run MCs, then burn candles. Keep it on wax, that's an idiot thing. Rather tump man up and don't talk about it. That's an inside box for your handball. Penalty, that's a penalty. 12 of us look like a den of thieves. Champagne shopping like 10 of each. Non-stop popping to the cemetery. They done know about me. Wartime roll out with pure gunman about me. They can't come around east. Who's that get back draw for the mic?
It's weird. I was talking to my manager about this because he's from Newcastle. So he digested grime like it was rap.
Right, right.
And he didn't really understand garage. They never really had it.
Yeah,
so he just associated that with kind of like, it's like kind of cheesy.
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas for me, I feel like up until quite recently, grime was kind of like an extension of garage.
Yeah.
Because I saw it, I felt it happen.
But I think there's two schools of thought on it, aren't there? Because there are hip-hop heads that listen to grime that have got no connection with garage.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's other people that think that garage is an evolution of grime, is an evolution of garage, and they didn't even listen to hip hop. You talk, you know, to me it seemed mad that you talk to people that are into grime that think hip hop is utter shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're just not into it at all, but it's just the way it is.
But I guess I've kind of gone the other way now, where I'll consume it at the same time. It's funny. I'd probably have to open up my. Anytime someone asks me on the spot, I probably should have done some research and thought about what.
No. Well, you're just too busy thinking about why you hate Jurassic 5. Got distracted. I understand.
But I feel like there was a turning point when Kanye did that gig with Skepta.
Yeah.
Or with all of Boy Better Know.
Yeah. Was this at Coco?
Yeah, that gig was mad.
Yeah, because Mo was talking about it, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But was it crazy?
That's one of the best gigs I've ever been to.
Really, yeah.
Because usually I go to a gig and I'll just like stay at the back and it just pretend I'm a bad man for the night.
Because
obviously when you're younger, you see those guys there, so you just... Yeah. but like, I went with Grant actually, my manager, and he's quite like, he's a bit more reserved than me. But he was like, fuck it, let's just run in there. And the next thing you know, we're just in the middle of the crowd, it's going crazy, it's all moving around. And it was like, it was weird. They were doing this rotation. So Kanye come on, do a song, come off. Skepta come on, do a song, come off. Big Sean would come on. And it was mad. It was like, and then JME would come on. And I guess like DJ-wise at that time, I was doing that. We were doing that in the DJ set.
Yeah.
But to see it live, and I was like, okay, cool. This is a shift now. So,
So
grime is just another, and it always has been that thing. But I feel like if you're from the pirate radio scene, you've seen it a different journey.
Yeah.
But it is actually just the genre of hip hop.
Yeah.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
What are you what are you up to next? What can we see you doing?
I'm going to Europe.
Where are you going in Europe?
I got to Iceland, but that's for a festival, that's for Iceland Airwaves. And then I'm off to Paris. I can't remember, Amsterdam, Berlin, Antwerp and Hamburg.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you done Europe before?
Not like this. I think this whole thing is just this the tour I've just done, and this tour, it's an exploration, man. And that's why I want to meet the people that are into my music, because I want to see what they're saying. And
no, fuck that meeting great now, man. Birmingham fucked it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All these people in Europe, some prick in Birmingham fucked it up for him. Murkish Dave does not want to fucking see you directly.
Bro!
That's a direct quote.
Yeah. He didn't want to say it on the thing, but we want to get that message out there.
I really enjoy speaking to people that are into my music more face to face than in between the songs. Right. I always feel bare awkward in the between the songs.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I don't know what to say.
Try to be funny.
Yeah. I always revert back to that. And that's something that I really respect. Like, that, what you do, is that's the highest, I think that's the highest level of performance. Stand up.
I wish anybody else in the world thought that.
bro, it is. Like,
it is, yeah.
Like, literally, the way that you have to do it, you prepare. I've never done stand up, but you prepare, but it's like, it's just you and your brain on the stage. Whereas, like, I've got like loads of help. Like, I've got the beat, I've got the crowd, the words.
You've also
for the
got talent. You had to craft a song. It's not just chatting fucking bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's. I know, which is we're different. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to do what you do, man. Do you know what I mean? It's just like,
you play in Europe. Do you ever do go and do that as part of your tour?
No,
just
I'm
UK?
Going to Dubai in March.
Getting that money.
You know what fucking social media is? Getting that fucking, you know what I mean? getting that Dubai tax free shit. You know when you, I remember like, so I didn't know, you know when you sort of all these like foreign dates come in, you think, I don't know who the fuck's going to go see me there. Right?
Yeah.
So like the tweet went out from the Dubai promoter, Roma Shining Athan performing in March. First reply, so what? There's literally the first
tour cancelled.
No, but that's some like Dubai so cunt.
Nah, but that's your brand though.
Yeah.
I feel like that is your brand. Mm. So it's like
you were trying to compliment.
Were you not happy about that? Because that gives you a joke.
No, I just, well, I suppose so, yeah. But I just thought, fucking, no one's going to come and fucking see me. It's going to be me in Dubai, losing money on this trip.
But no one's ever gone to Dubai and lost money.
Yeah, that's true.
Until now.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Ramesh, he's like a pioneer. You know, like some people are pioneers in how they push the art and that. He's a pioneer in turning a certified definite profit into a loss-making situation. He's a groundbreaker in that regard.
Nah, bruv, I know about you, bruv. You're getting money, bruv. Like, I know, obviously, for your image and stuff, you just keep it calm. I get it. But I know you're getting checks.
But, so, how do we get tickets to your Europe shows? Are you doing any more in the UK?
I will do. I mean, I hope to next year. But it's murkishdave.co.uk /live, I think.
/live. Well done.
Yeah.
That's good.
It might. That
no
might
one
be...
ever knows that bit, do they?
No, I know.
Websites are kind of pointless now.
Yeah. I know, it does feel a bit, doesn't it?
Apart from
just go on your, follow you on social media, etc.
Yeah. Listen, if you haven't checked out Murkish Dave's stuff, it's fucking unbelievable, man. Like, I strongly recommend it. You love it, don't you?
Yeah. Even if you're a Jurassic Life fan.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. It's just that Rupert really fucking loves Jurassic.
I'm sorry. Still bro, listening. Bro, I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah. I went to Manchester Uni as well, it's probably me.
Did you go Man Uni?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Mm.
There was a gig, wasn't there?
What year?
There was a gig at comedy
92,
gig at
90s. Oh, no. Yeah.
There was a comedy gig at Gorilla, wasn't there?
Where's that?
You know Gorilla in Manchester? You know Gorilla?
Yeah.
That was, I fucking died on my ass there.
Really?
I just drive all the way to Manchester to fucking eat for 20 minutes. Like, even the promoter can even fucking make eye contact with me.
Oh, that's deep, man. But I feel like you highlight, because obviously I've listened to a couple episodes of this, and you really highlight your L's.
Yeah, but you have to.
I rate that. But I feel like sometimes let the W's shine. as well, bruv.
Yeah. Do you know somebody I got interviewed, like, because I wrote this book. I got interviewed, and the interview goes, some people would read your book and think it's amazing that you continue to become a comedian, bearing in mind the number of times that you've had absolutely dreadful gigs. What made you carry on? I was like, oh, fuck. I'd assumed that you knew that I was just focusing on the ones that I... Because I was like, you know, in between that, there were gigs, but that didn't come across. They just thought, it's just me going from fucking car crash to car crash.
But those are the ones you remember. Those are the ones that...
And I don't want to fucking... You know, like when other comics, when you see comics on social media and they go, smashed fucking Birmingham, big up Dave the Builder in the front row, we had a bit of a laugh. I think, fuck off. Do you want to see a tweet where he goes, oh my God, absolutely ate shit for an hour and a half tonight. Sorry, Worcester. That was one of the worst shows
I've
ever done.
That's what I'm saying, bruv. Eating shit for an hour and a half. Like, you can't even do that as like a singer or a rap. Like, that's a deep thing, bruv, to stay on stage and just... And have to, like, that's a war of attrition. Yeah. It's like you're an infantry man.
Yeah, especially when you have an interval in the middle and you've gone out and you've done a first half and it's gone shit. When you're about to announce yourself on for the second half.
Did you have an interval?
Do you acknowledge it, though? Yeah.
What?
If you are eating shit, would you?
I don't know, because sometimes you don't know if you're eating shit or if it's just the crowd happened to be quiet.
That's
and if they're just being quiet but they're having a good time, and then you go, fucking hell, this is a shit gig. Yeah. And then they start to go, oh, is it? Oh, it's a I think you might be having a shit gig. And then suddenly you've put that into their heads, whereas it might just be that they're just like, ha, this is good, isn't it? Office. It's just I've got work tomorrow and I don't...
Yeah,
do you know
midweek gigs can sometimes be like that.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Fuck those gigs,
mate. It can be like that. If you get a good midweek,
yeah,
like if maybe like Bristol, I had a good midweek. Yeah. I think they've just got to be up for it. But if they're not drinking like that,
I know,
you know how it is.
But I do have loads of gigs that go really well, guys. So
come and check them out.
Murkish Dave, you've been amazing, man.
No,
thank you,
guys,
so much.
Thank you. I feel like I'm probably the least famous person that's ever come. I'm not even famous at all.
That's not
probably
true.
The least
Rupert's
known person
I've ever
come on your podcast. So thank you for having me.
No, listen, mate, you're a star.
Yeah.
Honestly. You're making fucking great music.
Thank you.
You're here on merit, man.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Don't right.
focus on the L's, man. Like, try and
let the W shine.
Thanks, man.